You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, going now to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. OBM, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. Know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. And we go and we talk to John Costco, as we do every Tuesday at 2, from Pro Football Focus. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nathan. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, thank you for being with us, John. We're six games into the season now, and we've got a pretty good look at this Browns team, or at least an idea of where they're at. What has stood out to you as the biggest positives for this football team on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, you start with Cody Kessler. You got a rookie quarterback who wasn't supposed to play this year, playing at a very high level. For the season, he's ranking sixth in our adjusted completion percentage at 78.6. His under pressure, he's second best in the league behind Tom Brady at 83.3%. He's grading extremely well in the intermediate level. He actually grades the best in all of the NFL in that category, and he's seventh best when he's throwing under pressure. So if you look at the biggest bright spot and probably the biggest surprise, is Kessler playing so well.
Do you guys do anything that measures, average depth of target or arm strength, et cetera? And how does Kessler look in those situations? Because you talked about him in the intermediate. What does intermediate mean? Is that 10 to 19?
Yeah, it's 10 to 19 yards. So any throw that's in the air, 10 to 19 yards.
He's number one in the NFL.
Yeah, he's number one in the NFL on a per-throw basis.
Wow.
And John, as we dive into the defensive side of the football, one guy that I know you guys have graded very high consistently has been Danny Shelton. What type of week did he have, and who else along the defensive line for the Browns had a great week?
Yeah, he graded extremely well again. He's showing week in, week out that he has improved vastly over his rookie season, and he carried on the success that he had started at the end of the second half of last year. He leads the NFL in run stops and run stop percentage of all defensive tackles. If he continues that, and he also got his first career sack this week, and he made the center, Ben Jones, look incredibly foolish in the process of doing so. So, he's developing that pass rushing ability as well. Last year he had 18 run stops. He's already surpassed that. And he also had just 8 quarterback hurries. He's almost reached that mark this year. Also on the defensive line, Jamie Meter's playing pretty well and for himself. He's grading well. He's not getting a lot of the stats, but he is stuffing and forcing the cuts for the running backs. And then also Stephen Paya. He didn't have any pressures this week, but he played well in run defense. The whole defense did a really good job shutting down one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL this week.
Talking with John Costco from Pro Football Focus. John, I know you guys measured quarterback deep passing, but I think this pass defense against the vertical pass is obviously not doing well. They're giving up big plays or getting pass interference penalties. How does this secondary shake out in your rankings? Is anybody playing well, and who have been kind of the biggest culprits so far?
The biggest culprit so far has been Derek Kindred, and he bites on the play action. I evaluated him out of college. It was one of the reasons why I didn't give him a draftable grade, because he did bust on a lot of plays, but also at the same time he missed a lot of tackles. He's doing that this year. Can he develop to look at the keys correctly? Of course he can, but he's showing that. When you throw that play action to throw the ball out there, he's looking at that, and then he gets beat deep. For the season, the team is allowing a passer rating of 137.2 when facing play action pass. And this week, again, they gave up a perfect passer rating to Marcus Mariota in that category. So that is a big issue for this team right now, defending that play action pass. For the players that are playing well in coverage, though, Jamar Taylor has been a good bright spot, and Joe Hayden has actually been pretty well outside of the game against New England. Both of those guys grade well in coverage, and even DeMario Davis, I know it's not in the secondary, but he's shown 2 weeks in a row now that he's playing well in pass coverage. He had a pass breakup again this week, and He's doing well in that category, which he hasn't done the past 4 years when he was with the Jets.
John, the Cincinnati Bengals are the opponent for this upcoming week. They sit at 2-4. Just throw out some of the grades, I guess, for Andy Dalton, the type of season he's having. We all know that A.J. Green is the big threat there, but what other offensive weapons have been playing well, and where do you think, again, a defense that's kind of been up and down for the Browns can take advantage of the Bengals offensively?
So Andy Dalton is playing at a high level. He grades 7th in our grades right now, and he's doing really well in the intermediate and deep passing areas. Outside of A.J. Green, they really aren't getting much production out of their weapons. You know, they're missing Tyler Eifert badly as their threat in the middle and in a red zone. Giovanni Bernard is a solid running back out of the backfield catching passes. He grades as one of the best in the NFL in that area. But, you look at Dalton, though, when the problem with that team right now is their offensive line is not playing at a level it used to. They used to have one of the best pass-blocking offensive lines. This year they've given up a lot more pressures and sacks than they have, and Dalton is struggling when he is under pressure. He has a pass rating of 60.7 in that area and just one touchdown to two interceptions. So you can get pressure on Dalton, which you could do by actually stunting them a lot. When I was grading the Dallas game, when they lost to them, they were down 28-0 at one point. Dallas was stunting on about 90% of their pass rushes, which is an insanely high rate. So, and they can't handle it. Their center Russell Bodine, he doesn't handle that very well. So that's where you need to attack this offense to be able to stop them.
John, when you look at this team, you talked about how good Danny Shelton has been. On the other side, the other first-round pick, Cam Irving, has struggled mightily. Where do you guys see him as a center, and how have you thought he has performed thus far this year?
Well, so he grades as the worst center in the NFL. Out of the 34 qualifying centers, a number of staffs, he's last in that category. He struggles with run blocking and at the point of attack. He struggles in pass protection. Even if he's not getting beat, the Browns have allowed pressure up the A-gap at the second highest rate in unblocked pressure. Through the A-gap at the second highest rate in the league via either overload, so there's too many players to be able to block, or stunts where he's not getting off of his player that he's passing off to another offensive lineman to be able to block the other guy. So it's a bit concerning after 2 years, year and a half in the league, that he's not showing that progress, because he did grade really poorly as a guard last year for the Browns.
And I think a lot of the reason of Cam Irving coming back this week, our inability to run the football, but that's happened for 2 weeks. And as we dive in, we know that with a young quarterback, we need to be able to run the football and create a little bit of 50-50 diversity, for that defense. So dive into Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, and their grades with really not having impressive weeks in back-to-back weeks. Or does that have a lot to do with the not having continuity along the offensive line and shifting those bodies around up front?
Yeah, it's more with the shifting of the offensive line and the continuity. When you lose, your best run back blocking offensive lineman, Joe Matonio, that's going to be a major hit. And then you're shuffling the guys again. And Cam Irving coming back too, so you've got essentially three new players you're trying to figure out working together. And it didn't work very well. They only averaged, had all of Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell, they only had 4 yards that they gained before contact on all their carries. Everything they gained was after contact, which is a stark difference from earlier in the season when they were rushing the ball very well. They're gaining almost 3 yards before contact, so they had the room to operate, and they're just not getting that right now.
No, and it's been a big problem, I think the first 4 games they were getting over 2 yards per carry downfield before taking contact. Now they're taking it at the line of scrimmage, as you just said right there, and that, I think, has been a significant problem for this team. When you talked about, the certain pressures, where they're coming from up the A-gap untouched, on the other side of the field, Emmanuel Ogba started the season off kind of slow in your pass rushing productivity, had 3 pressures, I know, last week against Brady, got his first sack this week. Is he starting to play better according to your metrics?
Well, he was, but then he went up against the offensive tackle who's playing the best in the NFL right now and was stymied. His sack wasn't against Taylor Lewan, but he didn't perform well. He didn't get much in a run game. He was bullied pretty much the whole game there. He didn't grade well. It's a game where they went up against what's been arguably the best offensive line in all football, and nobody was able to get any pressure on Marcus Mariota. And when they did, Mariota didn't play very well, which was a good sign, but he only was under pressure on like seven of his dropbacks. So, when it comes to Ogba, he had been playing better up until this game in pass rushing. I would take this more of like a blip in the road than a setback for him.
If Cody Kessler and the Browns were winning some games, do you think his performance and what, Hugh Jackson has done with him would be a bigger story?
Absolutely. His arm strength is the talk of amongst the town. It's fine. It's a lot better than it was last year. If you were to look at Cody Kessler's tape in college compared to now, he's throwing it a much better deep ball. He's throwing it harder on the deep outs. So he's doing fine there. And then, he's coaching him very well where he's taken what's given to him. He's only thrown two turnover-worthy throws all year long, one that was intercepted by Josh Norman. And that's at a rate that's higher than, guys like Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger. All those guys have thrown turnover-worthy throws at a greater rate than Cody Kessler. He's one of the lowest in that category. So his performance is very good, especially for a rookie. It'll be, he's now has four games, essentially, well, three and a half games of tape under him. That's when defensive coordinators are able to start game planning for their weaknesses and forcing them into situations you don't want. But we'll see how that continues on. But through the first couple of games that he's played, he's been phenomenal.
If you take away the penalty grade, which is fairly negative for Terrell Pryor, he's actually had one of the better years as just a pure pass catcher there in top 15 in the NFL, according to your pass grades there for wide receivers. How impressive has he been, and what can the Browns fans expect from Pryor going forward?
Yeah, he's been great. He actually ranks ninth in our receiving grade. He's only dropped one pass on 34 of his catchable targets. He's playing at a high level. He's getting yards after the catch. He's making some spectacular catches, and it was frankly reminded me of what Josh Gordon looked like back in his heyday. So, going up for the contested catches and coming down with them. If he continues what to be able to progress like that, and when they get Corey Coleman back, he's not going to have all the attention on him, and he'll just have more weapons to be able to operate. Kessler will have more weapons to throw it to, and that will make Pryor not double covered anymore. A lot of times he's getting into double coverage, and he's still making the catches, but it's obviously much more difficult to get open when it's like that. So I'd expect him to continue to progress. He's shown extremely well in receiving, so he's right on track.
All right, John, thank you so much for the information and the time, as always. And we look forward to talking to you next week. And again, hopefully, there are some bright spots, but we want that big bright spot, that big bright light that would be a win in Cincinnati.
Yes, indeed. And, I just wanted to say one other thing with Hugh Jackson being criticized all nationally about the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
It is the absolute right call to go for it on the first touchdown and not the second touchdown. You can game plan for if you don't get it, which they didn't, the game plan, hey, we need an extra possession. What do you want to wait until there's 5 seconds left in the game to where you realize, oh, we need an extra possession? You haven't game planned for that. So it was the 100% the absolute right call for him to go for two then.
All right. I like it, John. Thank you so much for the time. Follow him on Twitter at @PFF_JohnKotsko, our guest every Tuesday here on CBD. Thanks, John. All right, we'll be back with more. We'll hear from Cody Kessler himself, then we'll dive even further into the numbers. Some advanced analytics coming up at the bottom of the hour here. Zagur and Wilhelm, CBD Berea.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm in here. struggling for air, struggling for oxygen on CBD. But it's okay because we're going to go to the podium now with Cody Kessler, the Browns quarterback.
I came out okay, which was important for me, obviously, to come out healthy and, you know, just a little sore here and there, but nothing, you know, no injury-wise.
Cody, Hugh was really complimentary of your play when we talked to him earlier today. How has he been with you in meetings and kind of assessing your performance when week by week?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Jackson, you know, is very hands-on with the quarterback position and for good reason. You know, he's helped out a lot of quarterbacks become very successful in this league, and you know, I take everything he says very personal, you know, in the sense of everything he's saying, I'm always writing down notes or little tips and, you know, reminders here and there that he might throw out that, you know, can really help your play. And that's really helped me out. Just being able to process the offense and process, you know, what they're doing defensively, because he'll give you little hints here and there what to look at and you know, how this play is supposed to work. And he'll tell you exactly what he wants. And, you know, if you get a look that you're not ready for, how to get out of it or how to make the right decision. And I've been, you know, it's been very beneficial for me to have Coach Jackson there, you know, in my ear and help me out with, you know, this whole process of playing in the NFL.
Cody, I'm sure you're self-critical as well of your own performance. What are you not getting done that you feel like you should be getting done?
I mean, we just need to, like I said, be more consistent throughout the whole game, you know, and put together a complete game and you know, be better on third down was another thing this week, and help ourselves on first and second down, you know, to eliminate some of those third and longs that we had. But you know, we got to continue to, like I said, just put a full game together. And we started out fast and played well there in the first half, and then came out in the third quarter and stalled a little bit. And, you know, you want to be more successful, especially coming off the momentum we had going into halftime.
Do you feel like you're growing every week?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting better, you know, in the sense of, you know, learning how to play in the NFL and playing the position in the NFL and feeling more comfortable with the speed of the game and the tempo and, you know, different looks that you get thrown at you and different things like that. But that just comes, you know, like I said, with more reps. And the more reps I get in game situations has made me feel more comfortable and play a little bit faster and be a little bit quicker with my decision making.
Was there a greater effort to get the ball downfield yesterday? It seemed like the pass got the Barnage and went to Pryor a couple times deep.
Yeah, we had a couple deep balls there. And the one to Duke was you know, a deep throw. I just missed it. And we got a, you know, PI on that one, so that was fortunate. But, yeah, you know, the first play was you know, four verticals and you know, they played cover three and Gary popped open in the seam. But yeah, I mean, that's something that we wanted to do was stretch them a little vertically and also just be very efficient with the football underneath, you know, when you're throwing those underneath routes. But for me, it's just, it continues, but whatever play is called, I want to be efficient with it. You know, if it's a shot down the field, if it's there, you know, take it. If not, then check it down and move on and, you know, eliminate turnovers, eliminate bad situations.
So Cody, when you look at the game on today, I assume, are you seeing that there were things that were out there that were left out there because you didn't complete something or were you didn't see something?
Yeah, I mean, there's always plays you want back. There's always, you know, things. Obviously, that one to Duke, you know, I wish I would have hit and completed and gave him a chance there. And some of those third downs, you know, obviously I wish we would have got the ball, you know, to the right guy and got, you know, converted on some of those. But those are something you learn from, you know, and that's something that I take it as, you know, I don't want to hang my head on it. But like you said, I'm very, very critical of myself and I take it, you know, very seriously. It's very important to me and it's something that, you know, I want to see that I did on film and something that I can do better and I want to learn from and, you know, put that into play this week in practice and work on those things. That way, you know, I can be more efficient in the next game.
One of the things that Hugh has pointed out is the third down conversion rate. Mm-hmm. What have you observed or do you take away from what you see that's not necessarily working that maybe you feel like you can get to work on third down?
Yeah, I think, you know, just knowing where to go with the ball. You know, we get different looks all week and do different things. And like I said, unfortunately, you know, we would have liked to have a little more third and short. But at the same time, it's me. I have to manage the play. You know, if it's third and long and it's there, you take it. If not, you know, don't force the ball. You don't want to turn it over. And it's okay to, you know, play the field position game and punt away. But at the end of the day, you want to convert those. Obviously, you want to convert everyone and keep your defense off the field and give them a breather. But for me, you know, I just got to go with the ball, go to the right place with the ball. And if it's not there, be smart with it and check it down or throw it away and move on.
Cody, what has Terrell meant to you, not only just in terms of going out there and giving his all on the field and catching passes for you, but, you know, just in the meeting rooms and having been a former quarterback and all that kind of stuff? It seems like you guys are kind of
good. Absolutely. Yeah, Terrell does a great job. He's a great competitor, you know, and he's someone that, you know, loves the game and he loves his team and he really wants to be successful. And, you know, he helps me out a ton. And like you said, you know, he played quarterback, so you know, we have conversations about, you know, both quarterback wide receiver position that we're on the same page because, you know, he knows our reads or he knows what we're looking for on certain plays, and he knows what I expect him to do, and I know what, you know, he expects me to do on each play, and that I think is very beneficial for me to be on the same page with a guy, you know, as athletic and you know, effective in our offenses, Terrell, and he just shows it week in and week out. You know, he goes out and makes plays, and he's always in the right position, always doing things the right way.
He battled with a hamstring yesterday at a certain point. Mm-hmm. He finished out the game with that. What does that show about him, and how much do you need him to be in there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, exactly what I said, just how tough he is and how much he loves his team and how much, you know, he really wants to win, and as we all do. But, you know, it's those little things sometimes you don't know, you know, during the game, and he's battling with an injury and has things going on, but, you know, he's staying out there for us and working hard, and that's something, you know, me as a rookie obviously looks up to, and I know the other guys that are in this rookie class, you know, see those older guys that are fighting through different things. But, you know, he's a great player, and I'm very fortunate, you know, to be able to play alongside with him, and as well as the rest of this offense. And, you know, they just keep, you know, buying into me each week and you know, believing in me, and I believe in them, and we're just continuing to get better.
How concerned are you he might not be ready for Cincinnati then with this injury?
I don't know. I mean, that's Coach Jackson obviously knows more about the injury than I do. But, you know, obviously I'd love to have him out there, and he's been, you know, great for me to be out there and help me out a ton. But, you know, that's going to be, you know, for him to get healthy, and hopefully he'll be ready.
Dick LeBeau has this incredible record against rookie quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, 28-3, his teams against rookie quarterbacks. Was there anything in that game that caused you to say, now I know why? Or was there something you didn't see in your three previous games?
I mean, they always do, you know, they always bring something different. A lot of the stuff they did different was up front, you know, a lot of twist games, different things to, you know, to get to the backfield and get to the quarterback, and they did a good job of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's a great defense coordinator, a great defense, and you know, they've done, you know, he's been successful for a long time for many reasons. And you know, you got to be on your best game, you know, when you go up against a defense like that. And like I said, the biggest thing, though, was the third downs. That's something that obviously we wanted to convert more of.
Well, it had been done differently on that two-point conversion that failed. That was, you know, 2:07 to go.
Done.
What could have been done differently to make it work?
Just convert it. I don't know. I mean just make.
You looked at the film. Did you see something? It looked like he was.
No, they tight. Yeah, they did a good job dropping into coverage there, and we were hoping to get a chance to trail, you know, on a fade, and you know, they played over the top and played off of him, and they did a great job in coverage there. And like I said after the game, you know, I just tried to make something happen and convert there, but. You know, hats off to them. They had a great play there.
Cody, you said that something a little bit different in this game was you made several huge plays out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. And obviously the one, I'm just thinking of the one to Ricardo. When you look behind you and you kind of floated one to him. How comfortable are you, you know, making plays out of the pocket when you have to?
Yeah, I mean, that's just part of the position. That's part of the game. And you know, it'd be nice to sit there and just kind of sit back and have it like 7-on-7 and just throw the ball. But the reality is, you know, there's going to be guys that are coming after you and doing different things up front where you got to, you know, make something happen and help your offensive line out. You know, if it's something different look and you got to get out of the pocket and go make a play, then, you know, you want to be very efficient in that. And, you know, I was fortunate to be able to get out there a couple times and make some plays downfield.
How about Ricardo? He obviously made that one nice big play for you, but then he had a couple where he struggled up. How is he coming along for you, and what kind of confidence do you have in him?
And I told him after the game he played great, and I went up to him and said, man, you played awesome. You know, obviously he's going to be hard on himself with some of those drops, but he's done great. He's done some great things, and he's stepped into a role as a rookie, as, you know, getting thrown in there, you know, and making some plays, you know, and he's done a great job of that. And all of us, you know, when we had rookie minicamp with Rashard and Ricardo and some of the younger guys and Corey, you know, we kind of got a little bit of chemistry going there, and I think it's shown in some, you know, different plays the last couple of weeks, especially with Ricardo. But he's a great player. He's going to be a great player and continue to work hard. And it doesn't worry me at all. You know, I'm still going to throw to him every chance I get whenever he's open.
Hey, Cody, I know when you got here you were confident that you said you were and thought you could be a starter in this league. But having had success through 4 weeks, do you feel even more confident in where your future can be?
Yeah, I mean, success in the sense of, you know, I've made you know, done some things well, but at the end of the day, you know, I look at the win-loss record, and that's the most important to me. And this team is most important to me, and that's why, you know, I'm not as excited as I would be as if we won those games. But that's, you know, my biggest thing is you know, the stats and everything and making plays and all that is nice, and it helps your team win, but at the end of the day, you know, you want to win the game. And that's the whole point of it, and that's the whole point of You know, being competitive, and that's what we're striving for every day and every week and every Sunday. And so that's something that obviously we want to start doing, you know, start finishing games, putting together complete games and winning games. But that's, you know, obviously the most important thing.
How do you approach playing in your first AFC North game? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, how do you view the division and the importance of these matchups?
Yeah, it's a very tough division. It's very, you know, there's a lot of great defenses in this division. And obviously Cincinnati's one of them. And you know, you just got to continue to stick to your process. You know, and I know you guys hear me say it over and over, but that's something that's helped me stay confident and helped me stay calm and continue to just, you know, work hard as each week is just, you know, stick to the process, go out there and make the plays and go out and have great practice and, you know, watch as much film as you can, and that way nothing surprises you on Sunday.
There's obviously bouncing back week to week when you're not getting those results on Sunday is very difficult to do. You know, we've seen over the years where things snowball. How close do you really feel that you are to getting to where you want to be? Or are you just off just by a hair? Is it that simplistic?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the NFL, though. You know, you're going to have close games, and it'll come down to, you know, a couple plays here and there. And you obviously want to be on the winning side of those. But, you know, like I said, I think that's something for us as an offense. You know, we want to put together a complete game for better on third down and do these different things that give us a better chance to win. But, yeah, I mean, you'll never see me, you know, feel defeated, you know, and I know this offense the same way, and these guys at practice come back ready to work every time, and the leadership on this team is unbelievable, you know, with Joe Thomas and Terrell and, you know, DeMarro Davis and Christian Kirk, all those guys, you know, coming out and leading us each week, and you see it on Wednesday practice, you know, you come out and they call up the huddle, and the first thing they say is, hey, we're moving on, you know, it's a new week, we got to work hard, and, you know, obviously we've been very close in the last the couple of games, but you know, we just got to put together a complete game and hopefully come out on top.
That's Browns quarterback Cody Kessler there. When we come back, we'll dive into an article about Cody Kessler from NumberFire when the author joins us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. That's right, coming up next here on CBD, we will dive into the numbers, and our guests on the Ohio Business Machine Hotline will be Jim Sands, writer and podcaster for NumberFire, next on Cleveland Browns Daily.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. Here we go back to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline right now. And we're very happy to welcome in from NumberFire.com, Jim Sands, who wrote an article entitled Cody Kessler's Performance is Being Overlooked. Jim, thanks for the article and welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Good, man.
We're doing very well, obviously. When your team's 0-6, you're looking for bright spots, and I think anybody who doesn't consider Cody Kessler a bright spot right now is just being overly negative. I think the guy has outperformed all expectations. You brought some of that to light. What has stood out to you so far about Cody Kessler's performance?
Yeah, I think that when you look at Cody Kessler, you know, we look at our NumberFire metrics that we have on the site, and, you know, you can look at those the way they are. What I'll show you is that Cody Kessler has been outstanding, but that's also not considering the situation that he's in. I mean, you look at Cody Kessler, he hasn't gotten to play with Corey Coleman yet, which means essentially his only real wide receiver has been Terrell Pryor. But even with that in mind, his efficiency metrics have been very good. He's the 13th most efficient quarterback right now, according to NumberFire's metrics. That's out of 32 quarterbacks with 75 dropbacks. It puts him right between Ben Roethlisberger and Kirk Cousins. He's ahead of Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning. I mean, there's a long list of guys. Cody Kessler has outperformed. Again, this is before we consider the fact that his wide receiver core isn't really that great. That's not quite on the same par as the other guys. And also, Kessler has been pretty consistent, too. We have a stat called success rate at NumberFire. He is 10th in the entire league in that. Above average here as well. He's outperforming Carson Wentz, who I know that there was a lot of buzz about him in Cleveland,
of course,
with the discussion about them passing up Carson Wentz. But I know that the early returns on Carson Wentz are probably a little bit better, but at least Kessler's in that discussion in a worse situation. So I think metrics-wise, he's great. And based on his situation and what you'd expect, I think he looks even better.
One thing that I retweeted your article when it first came out, and some people were like, oh, they don't even take anything to account. help explain your NEP and the fact that it does take into account not only the opponent, who he's playing with, the situation, et cetera. And the key line to me was, for people, a three-yard completion on third and two is viewed a lot different than a three-yard completion on third and four.
Yeah, so basically what net expected points is it's tracking the points that you add in a drive. So, like, let's say you've got third and two on the 30-yard line. You're expected to score X number of points. If you pick up a first down, that's obviously going to increase the expected points for the drive, so that's a positive. And NEP just kind of looks at every play throughout the course of the season to see how many expected points a player adds. And you look at Cody Kessler, we've already got a sample of 132 dropbacks, which is pass attempts plus sacks that he has taken. And that's a pretty decent sample size. I mean, it's compared to 169 for Carson Wentz. And, you know, you look at that, and it's been really good. The thing about NEP is that you would expect a quarterback to be less efficient when he's trailing, because the defense knows he's going to pass. But that hasn't been the case with Kessler. He has thrown 78% of his pass attempts while the team is trailing. And that's compared, if we're talking again, going back to Carson Wentz, Wentz is around 38% of yep. his pass attempts while trailing. So they've been in very different situations. I would assume that the Eagles' offensive line, even without Lane Johnson, is a bit better than the Browns. So I find it really hard not to be excited about Cody Kessler based on what he's done these first four starts.
And through four games, and I'm sure it's very hard to do so as some of the guys that you might compare him to have a much larger sample size. But at this point, based on the analytics that you've kind of thrown out and what Cody Kessler has done in his body of work, who is he projecting to play like if he becomes a starter in the NFL? Like, who is he most like from a game plan standpoint, arm strength, and so on?
I mean, we do have comparables up on NumberFire's website, so I can pull that up and check things out here. And right now, if we're basing his numbers on the comparables, his top three are Joe Flacco, Chad Henne, that one's kind of weird, and then Chad Pennington. But the thing about those guys is that they were all – or Flacco and Pennington were both first-round picks. Cody Kessler is a rookie, third-round pick, coming out of USC. He had an awful situation in the second half of the year at USC. And the good thing about Cody Kessler that he has similar to Chad Pennington is he had really good college numbers. And I know that Pennington gets this bad rap from people just because he didn't have great arm strength. But, you know, if you look at our metrics, he was a top 10 quarterback half of the years where he was qualified. So I think that that's a really good comparable for Cody Kessler. You look at his success rate, that's akin to Chad Pennington. It's super high there. So I know that comparing him to Chad Pennington may not be a glowing name to associate him with, but from an efficiency standpoint, Chad Pennington is actually very good, and I think that that would be kind of an apt comparison for what Cody Kessler has looked like so far.
It's funny, somebody said that to me on Twitter the other day, to Chad Pennington okay. comparison. Smart, good arm, not great arm. He's not going to throw the ball through the wall, but certainly shown enough thus far early in his career. Do you think if Cody Kessler, if you just swapped him out, or let's just say that the Browns in his four starts or three starts plus, you know, with the New England game, let's say the Browns went 2-2 in those games, do you think the job he's doing and what Hugh Jackson has gotten out of Kessler would be a much bigger story?
Absolutely, because, I mean, I know that we've come a long ways in terms of valuing analytics when it comes to quarterbacks, but people will still look at that win-loss record and see that the Browns haven't won a game yet this year, and they're going to write Cody Kessler off. But in actuality, that's almost an endorsement of him. I know that Browns fans don't want to hear that because you want to get those wins. But at the same time, again, it goes back to situation. He is throwing so many pass attempts while the team is trailing, and you generally expect a player to perform worse in those situations. But Kessler hasn't done that. You saw him against Tennessee on Sunday, almost leading that comeback. And I think that that had to be a hugely encouraging, you know, thing for Kessler. And the thing that I liked about him for Sunday was that he's faced a lot of, you know, his first few games against some lesser opponents, but Tennessee's had a pretty good season so far, especially compared to where they were last year. Yep. They've limited some quarterbacks, but, you know, you look at Kessler, he performed well in a tough situation where they were trailing by quite a bit, and he almost led them back to a victory. So I'm not trying to overhype Cody Kessler, because I think that that could be a tough thing to do right now, but I do think that he at least deserves more national attention for how good he's been so far.
I agree. Is there anything else that you guys do at NumberFire? Any other Browns that have really kind of stood out to you so far this year on either side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, initially, Isaiah Crowell was one of the most efficient runners in the NFL. But the problem and you guys know this, problem that he has is that he's a run-first running back on a team that's not going to be able to run the ball a whole lot just because of you know, the defense letting up points and stuff like that. So Isaiah Crowell, and he's had a tough couple of weeks. The Betonio injury is not going to help him in that arena. But I do think that the first couple of games this year were definitely a bright spot for him. And then also, I know that, you know, Terrell Pryor's been seeing tons of volume, but his efficiency really hasn't been that bad either. He's added 0.44 passing expected points per target, which is a good number considering the volume that he's seeing and considering that the defenses are targeting him. You know, they had Josh Norman on him a while ago, so it's not as if he's seeing cake coverage out there. So I think that, you know, Pryor, based on the volume he's seeing and the efficiency that he's had so far, I think that he would definitely be a positive for the team as well. And I mentioned Andrew Hawkins offhand. His numbers are good with Kessler, and the same goes for Gary Barnage, even though those are in smaller samples than you have with Terrell Pryor.
Well, certainly appreciate the article, appreciate the insight, and you taking the time to be with us here today. Let everybody know how they can follow you on Twitter and just kind of give like a little bit of background, because I remember doing some stuff with Number Fire from Fantasy, and I know you're now with FanDuel as well, but just kind of give a little background on that.
Yeah, feel free. My Twitter handle is at Jim Sannes, JimSannes. Most of the focus is on fantasy, specifically daily fantasy sports, especially now with FanDuel being in our lives too. So if you have any questions, you can hit me up on Twitter. I'd be more than happy to ask. And all my writing, including that Cody Kessler piece, is on numberfire.com as well.
Jim Sannes, our guest from NumberFire. Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And hopefully things can go well this weekend. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate that very much. That was good stuff there. We appreciate it. We'll be back. We'll go around the league a little after further review and wrap it up. Last opportunity for you to chime in as well. 216-578-0850 on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We bring in our producer, Matt Fontana. Fontana, let's do a little after further review.
After further review.
All right, guys. Number one, if you could have only one of the two, who would you rather have, Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott?
I'm going to take Ezekiel Elliott. Come on. One guy's drafted third overall, one guy's drafted in the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a reason for that. So Ezekiel Elliott, no brainer.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ezekiel Elliott as well. I think that he is one of the three best at his position. I know quarterback's the most important position, but I'm not totally sold on Dak Prescott, whereas I am totally sold on Ezekiel Elliott, the ball carrier.
After further review.
All right, guys, we've known about Odell Beckham on his sideline outbursts and even Richard Sherman. Do you think these are good for the team or just a distraction?
I think they're just a distraction. And I think even furthermore, it was been said by Eli Manning that, you know, had Odell Beckham not produced over 200 receiving yards, that would be cut short. You know, that would not be tolerated. But as long as he's making plays, it's okay. But I still think it's over the top, and I wouldn't like it if I was a part of that team.
It's too much, but obviously the guy's a supreme talent, so you deal with it. But when he's not producing, it's enough. And I thought it was cute, the net thing, but now I'm ready to move on from it.
After further review.
That we will do, and we'll talk about Julio Jones and his non-pass interference call at the end of Sunday's game in Seattle. Speaking of Richard Sherman, guys, should all plays in the NFL be reviewable?
No. No, I think that, you know, over time, and I don't necessarily know off the top of my head, there's a lot of pass interference going on in the NFL. And I think in that case, there was not a flag thrown, so how can you review it? You'd be going against your, you know, your referees in that case when the ball is received or dropped per se, or fumbled or stripped or not stripped. You're able to review that. Because, you know, something was done. And I think for you to be able to go back and review, you know, what is pass interference and what isn't, it would just take too long. And I think in some cases, you know, penalties themselves are already slowing down the game.
They are, however, I would argue of the one thing that is not currently reviewable, I would much rather, I think pass interference should be, because it is outside of turnovers, pass interference penalties are the biggest changer in the whole game. Because of the span of yards, it's a chunk play basically every time.
So are you saying then so the referees would then throw the flags more and then which would bring on more reviews because you can't review pass interference if the flag's not thrown.
Well, I don't
technically
know
if, it's not pass interference.
I don't know if they would. If there'd be a lot of logistics you'd have to work out because you'd have to be able to challenge on, for example, the Julio Jones one. You'd challenge that, and they'd watch it, and then they'd say, yes, that was pass interference.
Right.
So I don't know exactly how it would work out, but you just couldn't add too many of them. It would have to be judicious. Not every pass interference would be – not like a turnover where everyone would be reviewable.
After further review
– very quickly, guys, on the last one here, if the Vikings are the best team in the NFC, who's the second best?
In the NFC –
Seattle.
Yeah. I would say Seattle, and I think they're 3-3, I think the Arizona Cardinals, after the performance last night with David Johnson, Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd getting back into it, Carson Palmer healthy again, they can definitely make a run.
Something seems wrong with Carson Palmer to me for them to go deep. I don't know if he's shaken after the playoffs last year. I like Seattle, and then I think the way the Atlanta Falcons are playing, very impressive right now in the NFC as well. All right, that'll do it for us today. We've got to thank Jim Sonnes from NumberFire, John Costco from Pro Football Focus, and all of you for your great calls. For Matt Fontana and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.